It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Oh, forget about it. This baby's gone instantaneously. J.D. Martinez, well, you had said a little while ago, he's going to get rolling. And when he does, look out. And that's his second of the day.
Red Sox win another one. They sweep the Seattle Mariners, rather, at Fenway Park over the weekend. Now 22-19 through 41 games in this 2019 season. As a lot of people apparently feeling as though the worst is over for this Red Sox team this year. My question to you tonight is, do you agree? Do you agree? Really that simple. Is the worst over? A lot of people think yes. The Red Sox have dug themselves out, and now here they are. The real Red Sox are back. 617-779-0985 is your number here on the Baseball Reporters. We'll take you up until 7 o'clock. And it's certainly a good time to talk about this team now because they are playing better. Boy, are they playing better. Nonetheless, me being me and the Red Sox being the Red Sox, I have a hard time fully investing the way some other people have here with regard to what this team has accomplished in the last little bit. And I think they've won, 10 out of 12 or something like that for the Red Sox? And again, three games over 500 now. And so on Sunday, in Dan Shaughnessy's Sunday column in the Globe, which was after the game on Saturday, and Murray mentioned this earlier today, and it's a good point, of all the wins the Red Sox had over the weekend, Friday night was 14-1. Yesterday was 11-2. The one in between was 9-5, but let there be no doubt that the Saturday game is the one that showed you the most. Okay, the Red Sox in that game were down 4-0 after the top of the first. 4-0. They rallied right away. They came back. They won the game. And Rick Porcello, who had a dreadful first inning, was damn near perfect over the next 6+. Really terrific. In fact, I think at one point Porcello was 1-2-3, like 5 innings in a row or something of the like. A big turnaround for the Red Sox, which led Dan Shaughnessy, of all people. I'm ashamed of you, Dan. Shaughnessy, of all people in the Globe, wrote, and I'm reading directly now, after everything that happened in the Sox hideously bad first month of a title defense, they will wake up Sunday 4 games out of first place. After playing as bad as they could possibly play, the Sox are right where they need to be to get where they want to go. They still have not even played a quarter of the season, and everything is ahead of them. It turns out that the hole they dug was not too deep. Okay? That's Dan Shaughnessy. The hole they dug was not too deep. Here's my point. And again, agree or disagree, fire away. Happy to hear from you. 617-779-0985. Are we really ready to say that this is over and everything's fine now? It's fixed and they're out of it? Because what if they go 6-10 in the next 16? Are we going to look back at that start and say, well, that's what did them in? Are we going to say, well, all of a sudden they were ready to go? Here's my point on the Red Sox. before anyone starts suggesting that they're where they need to be and they dug themselves out of the hole, let's see where they end up. And I know that we can all talk about last year, how great it was, and the fact that they won't repeat it. This is a team that should still be in the playoffs and has won three divisions in a row. So anything less this year with the same team, to me, would be a disappointment. Again, I think they're going to disappoint you in the end. I picked the Yankees to win the division this year, and I'm not going to change my mind on that. But that said, if you believe that the Red Sox have fixed their bad start or recovered from their bad start, you tell me, if they end up two games out and the season ends and they have to play in that play-in game or they don't even get in it, you're telling me you're not going to look back at 6-13 to start the year and say they weren't ready to go to start the season? Of course you are. Of course we all are. We do it all the time. Well, if they didn't start that bad, they wouldn't have had such a big hill to climb. So let's see how much energy they've had to expend to get to this point. I like the way they're playing too. How could you not? They're beating the tar out of these bad teams as well. They should, but nonetheless, early in the year, they won't. They played, or weren't rather, they played the same Seattle team early in the year, and they lost 3 out of 4, and the one win they got was lucky. So now they beat the snot out of the Mariners. Good. Happy to see it. I'm not going to mock them for it. Nonetheless, I have a hard time sitting here and telling you that all of a sudden everything's fixed and that the Red Sox are out of it. And deep down, I think Alex Cora believes it too. So I want to play you two Cora cuts and then we'll get right to your call. First, Cora was asked about the comeback on Saturday. This first cut you're going to hear is an exchange he had with the media after the comeback win over the Mariners. Again, down 4-0 in the first inning. Here's how it went.
Alex, it felt like the first couple weeks you guys were behind a lot. You know, the starters are giving up runs and it was 3 or 4 or 5 early. Why was it different today? Why were your guys able to overcome that in such dominant fashion?
We swinging the bat better. That's the bottom line. And you know, we're a better team today than March 28th, 29th.
I mean, you almost hear Cora chuckle there, right? As if to say, well, the difference now is that, you know, when we were digging these holes early in the year, we weren't scoring runs like we're scoring now. So we're able to overcome it. And they are. The Red Sox are getting production up and down that lineup. Big difference. Because what Porcello did to them on Saturday is what happened to them routinely on that first road trip. Up and down. They were down 4 or 5 runs early in the game all the time. And they weren't coming back. But then the question also becomes, was there ever a point, like, how concerned did Cora get? How worried did you get as a fan? How worried did the Red Sox themselves get? So he had this exchange with Pete Abraham, and it's two questions, so bear with me here a minute, but I want you to hear it. Here's the exchange Cora had with Peter Abraham of the Globe on the team's slow start and the manager's concerns at that stage.
Alex, the first 3 weeks, you would say after every loss, everything's going to be okay, Was there ever a point where you wondered about that?
Oh, me? No, not at all. No. You got to be disciplined. You know, like I've been saying all along, last year we didn't get caught up on the record we had, and this year we didn't get caught up on the start. It was just a start. You know, and we still have work to do. That's a good thing about it. You know, like we're getting to this point, but we know we can get better. So we will keep working just the same way we did in the first few weeks of the season, and try to become the team that we know we can be.
Is that because of the trust of the players that you have around?
I mean, we have a good team. We have a really good team. There's talent there. You know, we knew pitching wise we were going to get to this point. It was just a bad stretch, you know. And, I think, we can be better. It's just a matter of keep working. There's some guys that they're swinging the bat well. There's others that we need to keep pushing to get to who they are. So that's the next step.
So here's what I like about Alex Cora. The Red Sox right now are 22-19, 41 games in. That's an 88-win pace. 88 wins isn't good enough. It's not good enough. Not for the level of talent they have. So he sits there and he says, we can get better. So when we say, have the Red Sox dug themselves out of their hole, they're not on the pace they should be yet. Are they buried? No. They're not buried anymore. So that's good. They still have a lot of work to do, and they've made this a race whether they like it or not. Also, you say, well, Tyler Glasnow, the Tampa Bay Rays, has gone down 4 to 6 weeks with an elbow strain. They've already lost Blake Snell for a period of time, and the Rays can't handle injuries. True. And if I'm the Rays, by the way, I don't hold my breath on Glasnow being back in 4 to 6 with an elbow strain. Young guy who throws hard, that feels like Tommy John is coming, but whatever, we'll worry about that later. The Yankees are still in front of you. They've been more banged up than anybody. They have a more legitimate excuse to have played poorly than you do. So the Yankees are going to play better ball too. And remember what it took last year. The 108, you didn't need all 108 of them, but you needed more than 100 to win that division. So are they playing better? Of course they're playing better. The other part I find interesting quickly, and then we'll get to your calls. Cora saying he was never worried. Jim Murray and Jimmy Stewart, before we get to the calls, do you think that Alex Cora was ever worried about this team?
Yes, I think the organization was worried about the team, and the proof of that is how they brought up Michael Chavis. Now, that worked, but didn't that feel a little bit drastic at the time?
Jimmy?
I don't think they were worried at all. See? I think they see the talent, and they see that they can repeat and compete, even if it's not 108, it's 98 wins.
Okay, so I'm with Murray. I think they were worried. I think Cora doesn't show it. I think that he's stoic. But how could you not look at this team and say, what the hell's going on here? Why aren't we playing right?
Believe in the plan.
Okay, why aren't these guys focused? So it took Chris Sale longer than they thought. The pitchers weren't good out of the gate. They did not. There's no way you can tell me they thought they were going 6-13.
At the very least, how do you not look at Chris Sale if you're any member of that organization and look at him and see how he was going that first few weeks and say, what is happening here?
Oh, well, the weather's tough out there, Jim.
I mean, really, the whole thing, like, there's the way I'll say it is there's no way you can tell me that they expected to go 6-13. And I don't care who you are, 6-13 will shake your confidence, especially when you're doing it the way they were doing it. 6-13 will shake your confidence. Mike's in a car. Mike, what do you got?
No, I don't think they're out of the woods yet, man. Look who they're playing. I mean, I don't think Seattle has been doing well the last little bit here. Let's see what happens when they play Houston. Let's see what happens when they play the Yankees again. Because the pitching still is suspect. Yeah, they're pounding a lot of runs, but they're still giving it up early on. I don't know if they can keep coming back.
So, Mike, I'll tell you what. I think they've been actually pretty good all the way around of late. Eduardo Rodriguez has thrown the ball well. Chris Sale's thrown it better. Now, if you want to tell me, Porcello's been better. Despite the first inning the other day, Porcello's been better. And if you want to tell me that you're worried about the injuries because Price is hurt, although there is a chance he'll be back this weekend and pitch in the Houston series, or that you're worried that Evaldi's out, and again, he apparently is playing catch now, but he's still a few weeks out at a minimum in all probability, I'll grant you the pitching. Okay, the depth and durability of the pitching staff is worrisome. It is. But they're playing better, and again, the competition's not their fault. I beat the crap out of them for the competition all of last year, but the fact is you can only play who's in front of you. So now they're going to continue to play bad teams. They'll have the luxury of playing more bad competition early in the week, and then they'll get the Astros next weekend, and that'll kick off a pretty tough stretch of games where you will face Houston twice. You're going to face Cleveland in there. You're going to face the Yankees in there. You know, you're going to have a pretty good go of it with some good competition. Okay. You're going to get all that. Colorado will be in for two starting tomorrow night. So we'll get a better look at how they fare against good competition. But this idea all of a sudden that everything is fixed really is, you know, to me, we don't know that yet. We don't know that. And we're not going to know it until the end of the year. Because if they lose the division by a couple of games, you know it and I know it. That we will look back on that start in April and we'll say, well, they dug themselves a big hole. They had to spend a lot of energy getting out of it. Maybe to the point where they lost David Price and Nathan Eovaldi to injuries. And let's see if Chris Sale can hold up too. Because in the past, when Chris Sale has faded in the second half, they've been in right there in contention for the division and they didn't need him to pitch well in August and September because they won anyway. What if this year they need him and he breaks down again? So there's a whole other list of variables, in which case you would have sacrificed not just the end of the season with Sale, but the beginning. So there are a whole list of variables here that we don't know about yet. I'll tell you the other one. There's another element with the Red Sox. that people are starting to say is a factor in their turnaround? Someone emailed me about this over the weekend and really kind of annoyed me. I'll tell you what that was when we come back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
High fly ball. That one deep left. Back it goes. Gone! Sandy Leon with a three-run shot. Well, the heck with the bunt. How about doing that, finding the monster seats?
That was a big blow in the game on Saturday. Home run by Sandy Leon, batting right-handed. He's always been better from the right side than the left. If you remember, there was an occasion last year where Alex Cora actually sent Leon up to pinch hit from the right side over Blake Swihart. Do you remember that? And it's because he regards Leon as a better hitter from the right side than Swihart is, and he might be right. But the Swihart-Sandy Leon link is obvious because earlier in the year, the Red Sox kept Swihart on the roster, took them one game with Swihart behind the plate. One. For people to start griping about the fact that Swihart couldn't handle the pitching staff, and I'm talking about Dana Livangi, the pitching coach, and probably the pitchers behind the scenes. So I got an email over the weekend from a listener named Bob, who said, so what's your take on this guy now, referring about Leon? Leon was in the subject line. I know you guys have to talk boring Bruins, but the scapegoat Swihart still stinks. He was 27 years old. He ain't going to make it, which sucks for him. Okay?
Swihart stinks. The man's a wordsmith there.
So now Bob has since emailed me in because he heard me mention this on the afternoon show. Mm-hmm. And he said that what he was referring to was Porcello's post-game comments about Sandy Leon. And what I will tell you is, I believe him. I mean, I don't think, you know, he's lying. It, you know, the fact that it came on a day where Leon homered is maybe a coincidence, but maybe not. So regardless, Sandy Leon's not there for his offense. And if you want to tell me, as I looked up this morning, that the Red Sox are 9-2 with Sandy Leon as a starter, that would be a good stat to throw in my face. What I will tell you is that immediately after Sandy Leon came back, they still sucked. So it took him a little while to get out of it. And if you want to say to me, well, you got to give a guy a little time to get acclimated, he was with the team all last year. He's with them in spring training. They weren't ready to go. So Blake Swihart is a scapegoat and will remain a scapegoat. I don't know if he can play or not. I told you, I liked him. I would have kept him. But that aside, I'm not putting Sandy Leon at the top of my list of people who deserve credit for getting the Red Sox out of this mess that they were in early in the year. And I'm still not even entirely sure that they're out of it. I mean, they're playing better. I think they're out of the funk. I don't know if they're out of trouble. Maybe that's a better way to put it. But Michael Chavis and Rafael Devers, they'd be higher up on my list than Sandy Leon is. Let's go back to your calls. And Chris, who's in Hartford. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Maz, listen, Sandy Leon is number one on the list, and you gotta eat your words. Sandy Leon takes on so much responsibility, especially for Vasquez learning about the hitters series in and series out. When Swihart was there, you had Vasquez sitting with Swihart looking at the orders of the other teams, pitch by pitch. That is not what we want to do with our pitching staff. That's not what we want to do with our hitters. The mother of the team is a catcher, Maz. You see Sandy Leon come in. He is number one, and I'm glad you brought up my boy Devers. What do you think about his defense?
Okay, so I'll get to Devers a little bit later. I think you're totally overrating the impact Sandy Leon has had on the pitching staff. I mean, all of a sudden now he's responsible for Christian Vasquez's success too? That's the deal? Like, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. None. You know, I think Vasquez has done a perfectly good job, and Vasquez is still the starter. So you want to tell me Sandy Leon helped and that psychologically the pitchers have a benefit? Sure, I'll tell you then the pitchers are weak-minded. All of a sudden Chris Sale can't pitch well with Blake Swihart behind the plate when he won with A.J. Pierzynski in Chicago? I mean, come on, how many stupid excuses are we going to make for the fact that they weren't ready? Because that's really what it was. They weren't ready. So stop making stupid excuses for them. They weren't ready to go, now they're playing better. I also would like you to explain to me how Sandy Leon is responsible for the fact that they scored 14 runs on Friday night and 11 more yesterday, and he wasn't in either game. Can you explain that one to me? Ray's in Redding. Go ahead, Ray.
Hey, Maz. So, quick question. So, you guys had...
You got to turn your radio down, Ray.
Sorry about that, buddy. Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
So, you guys had you and Felger had a debate, I think when they were 4-9, if I'm not mistaken, about what kind of baseball they got to play for the rest of the season to hit that 89-90 win season so they can make it into the wild card spot. I think the number you threw out was 587 baseball. Do you think from this point out it was 587 baseball will take them to that spot, or do they got to play at a higher clip?
So, Ray, I think if they keep if they stay on their current pace, which, again, is an 88-win pace, I think they'll get in. Okay, again, the number, generally speaking, is right around 90 to get in as that wild card team. Last year was the exception because you had some uniquely talented teams in the league. Houston, the Red Sox, the Yankees all won over 100 games. And what were the Indians as the second wild card? They had 90-something wins, right? So, and they weren't the second wild card. They were the division winner in the Central. The Yankees and the A's were the wild cards. And Oakland won 97 games, but the reality is all Oakland needed to win was about 90, right? Because the sixth-place team had 80-something. So they didn't need 97. That's ultimately how many they got if you follow that logic. So 88 should probably get them in. There's no excuse for them to not be a playoff team. The reality is they should be right there, nip and tuck for the division, and there's no excuse for them not to be. And if they end up losing the division by a game or two, all of us, not just me, all of us will look back on that start when they went 6-13 and said, had they been just ready to go a little bit more, instead of 6-13, had they gone 10-9, they would have won the division. I guarantee you we'll be saying that. James is in a car. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, so I guess my point is, what's going on with the bullpen? I mean, the starters seem to be getting back into it. The hitters are finally hitting, but the bullpen is still mediocre. I don't see any elite talent back there. I know Brazier's got guts, Barnes got guts, but I don't know. I think they may need to go out for somebody. Not sure who, but yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
So, James, they're going to need bullpen help. I felt that coming into the year, and I still feel it. And if you want to tell me that Brandon Workman has been a nice addition or a nice surprise, a nice development is probably a better way to put it, by all means, I agree. He's been pretty good. I still don't trust a guy who's going to walk people in a playoff game, okay, in the eighth and ninth innings. Brazier and Barnes, Cora was able to mix and match with them a little bit, and certainly in the postseason, they were able to use starters back there. Maybe he's going to do the same thing this time, too. We'll see what happens, but I still think they're going to need an arm if they're going to match up with Houston and New York in the late innings and win important games, even in the regular season, down the stretch. Again, we'll see how it goes here in the next couple of weeks with Houston. Let's see what happens in the next couple of weeks. You're going to get the Astros in two series starting on Friday. So you'll get them twice in the span of 10 days. Let's see how that one goes. And then you'll get Cleveland and New York back-to-back. And New York obviously loaded in that bullpen. So if those are close games going to the late innings, let's see how the Red Sox fare. Maybe they'll do better than I think. And they might. But something tells me they're going to need bullpen help here before the end of the year. The quality of the opponent, that's another thing that we should really examine. Because, boy, I'll tell you, Matt McCarthy of the Hardcore Baseball Podcast just walked in here a little while ago. Tell me that you've seen a team play as badly as the Mariners are playing right now. And if you don't, or if you weren't watching yesterday and you don't know exactly what happened, we're going to refresh your memory with the stoogery that went on at Fenway Park yesterday after Murray gets you caught up on him.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Sox trying to grab the early lead and popped him up. Moving over is Long. He slams on the brakes. He slipped and falls in. Bogaerts is in to score. And the Red Sox take the lead. But we talked about the conditions are going to be dreadful today. And that'll trickle by. Here comes the run. Devers will score. And the Red Sox lead it 3-1.
Well, that's going to go as a pass ball right there. That ball should have been stopped by Nevarez behind the plate.
You know, their defense is challenged.
Well,
Without bad weather.
Yeah, it's been really bad.
Mookie quite settled in at Fenway. Last nine home games, batting .424. He'll sky that one to short right, coming on Bruce. And will make... Oh, he'll drop the ball. Here comes the run, Benintendi. Bruce picked it up and threw into second base. Didn't even think about home plate. And another run is in on another miscue by Seattle.
Yeah, he made two mistakes on that. First of all, dropping the baseball, which was obvious. And then for some odd reason, does not even look to home plate. Boy, we talked about the defense from the start of this series, and it has not been good at all.
Oh, my.
For Seattle.
Horrible.
I've heard that about 4 or 5 times now, Dave O'Brien at the end. And I laugh every time because it's so unlike them. Jerry Remy ripping the Mariners' defense, and you hear O'Brien. I just think it's funny. So deadpan O'Brien at the end. Horrible.
He's right.
Oh, my gosh, was that awful. Wow. If you didn't see that game yesterday, holy crap. It was unbelievable. Pop up behind first base. Second baseman runs over there, falls flat on his ass, and falls in for a hit. That's number one. Then a pass ball that, honestly, I don't know how the catcher missed it. It's not like a ball that was in the dirt. All he had to do was catch the thing. He had to turn his glove to his left and catch it. It went right by him, allowed a run to score. And then the last one, Jay Bruce coming in on a pop-up that my 12-year-old could have caught no problem, like a can of corn in his back pocket. And not that he's a bad player, but nonetheless, you get the idea. Oh, layup. Jay Bruce drops it. Wow. I'll tell you what, I've seen some bad baseball. The Mariners, 7-23 in their last 30. And yesterday was as bad as I've ever seen. Wow, do they suck defensively. Holy crap, was that bad. Wow. So I know what you're thinking. What, are you going to take credit from the Red Sox now because they beat a bad team? No, I'm not. Because the Red Sox were so bad early in the year, I'll take any win I can get. Okay, ultimately, it's about the wins. But holy moly, are the Mariners bad. Wow, did they stink. Talk about reinventing the game. I'm not sure why some of those guys are wearing gloves out there. That is bad. That was bad, bad, bad defense. That's the kind of baseball that should insult you. It was so bad. Wow, was that garbage. Speaking of defense, Luke in Hull wants to talk about JBJ. Go ahead, Luke.
Hey, speaking of garbage, how long are they going to put up with Bradley at the plate? I heard you talking the other day saying that he was 173rd out of 173 qualifying for regular, whatever it is, batting title or whatever.
Yeah.
Minimum at bats. And to even comprehend DHing Bradley to have him in the outfield, if that's not a wake-up call for this guy's offense, I don't know what is.
Oh, so listen, Luke, there's no defending what he's done for them at the plate. And Alex Cora said last week, after Bradley made that catch in Baltimore, and it was a terrific catch, he said, well, this is why we, you know, keep him in there and put up with some of the stuff offensively and why we're patient. Okay, and I'm paraphrasing. He didn't say put up with, but he said this is why we're patient. And I would tell you that, no, this is the reason why they had Michael Chavis go out to left field and start, you know, tracking fly balls. Because they want to put Chavis in left field to move Benintendi to center and get Bradley out of the lineup. That's why. A guy like that, a guy like Bradley, he can still make the catch he made in Baltimore. You just put him in as a defensive replacement when you get the lead. Or if you get into an extra inning game and you want to value the defense more than the offense, and you put him in there. But if he's hitting a buck 40, you take him out of the starting lineup. You cannot play in the big leagues and hit 140. Not unless you're like the greatest defensive player at shortstop or a catcher of all time. Then maybe we can talk about it. But in center field, no shot. Mike's in Newton. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Matt, how about that Mariners defense? Talk about a poop sandwich, huh?
Oh, my gosh. Really? That's as bad a defensive game as I've seen a big league team have in a long, long time.
Yeah, that's a crispy flatbread grilled sandwich right there.
Correct, yes.
Yeah. So I was pissed off about the Swihart thing when that all went down. And then you were talking about him and Sandy Leon like 10 minutes ago, and it just got me all pissed off again because, you know, Sandy Leon came back and everyone still sucked. So they put Swihart in for what, like a game? And because he sucks, well, everyone else is sucking, that means, oh, his career is over. Like, they didn't even give him a chance, you know? Everyone sucked. That's it.
So, Mike, look, Swihart may suck too. Maybe they're right on Swihart. But this is another point to me about the way things were going in the early part of the year. If the Red Sox knew that they were going to need a good catcher in the first few weeks of the season, they never would have broken camp with Blake Swihart on the roster. There's no way they would have done that. So this is further evidence that their performance in the early part of the year failed to meet even the lowest expectations that they had. Things were so bad that it took them a couple of weeks to get rid of Swihart and bring back Leon. 2 weeks. And then after that, remember what was happening. Chavis came up, and they were making moves and changes to the roster, all with the idea of trying to give the team some kind of jolt. And on some level, I think that it did, at least with regard to Chavis and even Rafael Devers, which brings me to Tom and Quincy. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Tony, what's going on? Hey, I know how you guys feel about double dipping, calling two shows in one day.
Tom, I'm going to allow it. Go ahead.
All right. My big thing is the Michael Chavis and the Devers, right? Two young kids could be cornerstones for this team for a long time. They're setting themselves up. They got Bogaerts locked up. They got these two kids on, you know, easy money for years. They might lose out on bets. My question to you is, what the hell are they going to do with the rotation? Because there is no young talent coming through the rotation.
Okay. Yeah, so Tom, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you go. Only because with the rotation, the one thing you can say is that Sale is now signed. Counting this year, you have Price for four. Porcello's up at the end of the year, but you get Eduardo Rodriguez, I think it is, for the next three. And they just signed Nathan Eovaldi. Okay, so four of your five starters are going to be under team control for the next 3 years. That buys you a little bit of time with the pitchers to certainly fill in the blanks there a little bit. And worse comes to worse, you can always try to make a trade somewhere. Not that they have a ton to deal at the moment, but they got a couple of guys that teams might have interest in. And they might even be the kind of player that you could pick up at the deadline if you wanted to take a run at a championship this year. Which brings me to Bill in a truck and a story that broke over the weekend that I found interesting. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, Tony, I read the article today that Boston is one of eight teams that Madison Baumgartner has to approve the deal, approve the trade. And any other teams, it doesn't have to be approved. So my question is whether this is worth discussing or not. is David Price and Jackie Bradley Jr. worthy enough to satisfy the organization, and what can we do to get Madison's approval?
Okay, so, Bill, thanks for bringing this up. For those of you who missed it, there was a story that broke over the weekend that listed eight teams on the no-trade list for Madison Bumgarner. Okay, and I don't have it in front of me, but off the top of my head, I can pretty much rattle it off. Those eight teams were the Yankees, the Astros, the Red Sox, the Cardinals, maybe the Dodgers, but regard the Cubs, basically the eight biggest markets in Major League Baseball, and maybe the eight best teams in Major League Baseball. And so you would say, why would a guy whose contract is up at the end of the year and whose team is in last place refuse to go to teams that have the biggest payrolls and the best rosters and, in theory, the best chance of winning a world championship? He can be dealt to anyone else. So if he wanted to go to Tampa Bay, if you believe in them, he can still do that. But the eight other ones, why would you do that? And the answer is, it's not that he doesn't want to go to those teams. It's that he wants to be able to leverage those teams. So that if there's going to be a trade to a big market team, Madison Bumgarner can say, well, look, why don't we talk contract right now? If we talk contract right now, I'll take a deal. You can trade for me, and you'll get me for 5 or 6 years, and then everybody's happy. Otherwise, I'll say no. So maybe he's doing it a little bit out of loyalty to the Giants. It feels like he's loyal to the Giants, and he can help them out a little bit, because if you can get a guy in a multi-year deal, well, then in theory, you can get more for him. Maybe he's just doing it to give himself leverage, which is really the high probability. I mean, and the only reason I even entertain the idea that he's doing it out of loyalty to the Giants is because, you know, for example, and I'm going to give you a very loose analogy, but when Kyrie Irving was with the Cleveland Cavaliers, what did he tell them? I'm leaving. So you better trade me, because as a free agent, I'm going to walk and you're going to get nothing. So they traded him and they at least got something for him. So maybe Bumgarner's doing something similar. Hey, if you guys want to trade me, fine, trade me. But these are the teams I want to have a say in, and you'll get something out of it too. And the Giants said, huh, interesting. Because if you're going to sign with that new team and you're going to leverage them, then we can ask for more. So that works for us too. Fine, no problem. Again, I'm just sort of throwing that against the wall. But I think we got there in a roundabout way. The bottom line is somewhere along the line, the Red Sox are going to need pitching. It may not be starting pitching. It may be a reliever. More likely a reliever. Bumgarner's salary this year, by the way, $12 million, which means if you get him in late July, you're only looking at adding about $4 million to your payroll. How would you like to get that guy on your roster with his postseason pedigree and add only $4 million to your payroll? And then maybe even an extension on top of it. I mean, that's pretty good. Quickly, we normally do this in the next segment, but the Red Sox aren't playing tonight. So the big matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. The Red Sox don't play tonight. They'll be back in action against Colorado tomorrow. So we'll have a Big Y matchup for you tomorrow night for sure. The two players who have been most responsible for the Red Sox surge to me are obvious. We'll get to them next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, there's a drive. He lays into this one. Devers
second home run of the season. Well, you could tell the crack of the bat, that baby was history, and the Red Sox take a 5-0 lead. And there's a line drive, base hit, into right field. A beat goes on for Rafael Devers, another run in to make it 7-0. And another base hit. That's off into right center field. Martinez scores. Here comes Moreland to tie the ball game. Rafael Devers absolutely on fire, and he's tied the ball game. That is maybe the toughest out in the American League right now.
Okay, time for the Rodenizer Heat Zone. Who's Hot? Brought to you by our friends at Rodenizer Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. No surprises here. Rafael Devers, three hit games in a row against the Mariners over the weekend. How about these numbers? In his last 16 games, Devers is hitting .424 with an OPS just under 1,100, 16 games, 6 RBI, 2 home runs, 7 doubles. In those 16 games, the Red Sox are 12-4. And so Chavis, Michael Chavis, who came up and immediately gave the Red Sox a jolt, and Rafael Devers, to me, two of the biggest keys as to why the Red Sox have started hitting again, scoring again, winning again, getting a big margin on teams in the process. Those guys, big part of it. Do not ignore the contributions of those players. And again, young guys with something to prove. As someone once told me long ago, in baseball, watch out for veteran players. Watch out. They get complacent. They think they're better than they are. They get entitled. The young guys don't know any different. Okay, so Devers and Chavis have helped the Red Sox out quite a bit. Mike's in a car. Mike, go. Mike, are you there? Yeah, you got to be fast. Go.
Okay, Tony. Real quick, if the Red Sox at 48 games are close to 600, then that'd be a 3-1 Patriots team, and then I'd worry less. But I agree with you. Devers was the reason I called. You picked him out. He's playing great. He's still a butcher at third base, but if you have a butcher at third and a butcher at second and a great shortstop and great first base defense, I love that infield. That's it.
Yeah, so Mike, look, they might be able to get away with it. I don't know. We'll see. I want to see how it shakes out with Chavis in the long run. And I'm not as sold on Chavis as I am with Devers. Chavis, to me, has a bad swing. And when I say a bad swing, a softball swing. So the good news is that he has plate discipline. So he's not your typical guy with a wild swing. And I'm not saying his swing's even wild. It's just a massive uppercut. But he's got good plate discipline, so he'll take a walk. He's not going to hit for a high average, though. Mark my words on that. Adam Jones coming up with Christian Arcane here in just a little bit. What do you got?
Oh, the Red Sox don't have any prospects. Oh, Michael Chavis. Like, is that score one for the farm system over
there?
Nope. Why not?
Let's see if he can stay on the field. Wink, wink.
What, he got popped for PEDs last year, 80 games? It could happen again.
Exactly.
He's served his debt to society. I mean, I feel like now he's back and he's swinging a hot bat.
So this is one of those things. A guy doesn't do anything in the minor league since he gets drafted. All of a sudden, he starts jacking the ball out of the ballpark. He gets to AAA and he gets popped for PEDs. Now he gets to the big leagues and
I'm sure it's on the up and up, yeah.
I mean, I'm supposed to pretend that never happened?
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.